Today we celebrate an ancient feast called Lazarus Saturday. What is the meaning of this feast? What is the meaning of this event? Why did Jesus raise Lazarus? Whenever we ask ourselves such a question, we have only to turn to the divine liturgy. There is an ancient saying among the fathers, preserved for us in Latin, lex orandi, lex credendi. We believe as we pray, and we pray as we believe. The meaning of this, and the fuller form of it, reveals to us that the liturgy is the vehicle through which the tradition, the faith, is passed on. The apostolic faith is preserved first and foremost in the liturgical celebrations of the church. This is why it is so important to preserve the liturgical celebrations in all purity, as best as we are able at all times. Because how we pray, how we celebrate the liturgy, reveals the faith to those who come. And so, as we pray, we reveal what we believe, and as we believe, we pray. So, what do we sing then on this great feast? Among many beautiful hymns, there is a hymn proper to every feast of the church. In the Eastern tradition, these are still sung. In many churches in the West, and unfortunately in some of the Eastern churches as well, the ancient patristic hymnography, that is the official liturgical hymn prescribed for a feast, has been forgotten. The Feast of Pentecost, for example. We sing the hymn of Pentecost. On the Feast of the Transfiguration, we still sing the official hymn of the Transfiguration. On the Feast of the Theophany, the Baptism of our Lord, I could go on, we continue to sing the ancient hymns. These hymns go back to the 3rd, 4th, 5th century. I've often heard someone say, "Oh, I wish I had more time to read the Fathers." Well, you'd have to have a lot of time in your hands. Because the books, the writings of the Fathers, would fill the walls of this church. You'd have to have a lot of time on your hands. What we want to know from the Fathers is what they believed. And what they believed, their ancient faith, is preserved for us in the patristic hymns that they composed and sang. It's there that you find the great jewels of the patristic age. Many of these ancient hymns were composed by great ancient fathers of the church. St. Ambrose, St. Ephrem, St. John Chrysostom, I could go on. As I said, tragically today, many have forgotten these hymns, but in the Eastern Church, thank God, we are still preserving and singing these hymns. So what do we sing today? O Christ God, as you raised Lazarus from the dead, for your passion you confirm the resurrection of all. You see what that says? The resurrection of Jesus affects time before and after. This is called Christocentric theology. Christocentric salvation history. That Christ incarnation, His life, His passion, His death and His resurrection and ascension affects what happened before it and after it. Adam was created because God became man. The resurrection stories in the Old Testament, Elijah raising a boy from the dead, was given power by the resurrection of Jesus. The raising of the boy by Elisha was given power by the resurrection of Jesus. Even the raising of the man who touched the dead bones of Elisha happened by the power of the resurrection of Christ. Lazarus rose from the dead by the power of the resurrection of Christ. And Christ's resurrection affects, of course, then, time after as well. So that we find, after the resurrection of Jesus, that many of the saints, Matthew tells us, were found wandering around in Jerusalem. Many of the saints of the Old Covenant. What happened to them? They were then taken up. The resurrection of Jesus gave life to the body of the Virgin Mary and raised her from her tomb when she was taken up into the heavenly abode. And it is the resurrection of Jesus that gives power, as we sang in that hymn, to our mortal bodies to rise from the dead at the end of time. This is the good news. This is the gospel. And we find here, a week before the resurrection of Jesus, before His own death and resurrection, we celebrate an event in which Jesus shows and reveals His coming passion and resurrection, and the resurrection, as we just sang, of all. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Ask someone today, what is the good news? You might get a variety of answers. Jesus saves. Saves from what? He saves me from my sins. Why? So? How? What's the purpose? What's the gospel? Someone might answer, Jesus died for me. How does the death of Jesus affect you? Doesn't sound like very good news to me. Jesus died? The good news, as we find in Acts the Apostles, that Jesus gives to His apostles, He says, you are witnesses of my resurrection. Because it is Christ's life, passion, death, and resurrection that saves us from sin and death. So that we, through baptism, chrismation, and reception of the Holy Eucharist, may also live a life free of sin, walking in the Spirit by the power of Jesus on this earth. And that we also, at the end of our life, though we die, as He said today, will rise again. Because this was the original plan of Adam and Eve. This was God's original plan for creation. That He created man and woman. He created humanity as His own children to dwell with Him in the Garden of Eden forever. Here on this earth. That is God's plan, and it will not be thwarted. And that is why Christ came. That is why He rose Lazarus from the dead. That is why He rose from the dead. And that is why He will raise our mortal bodies from the dead. So that, as we see in the end of the book of Revelation, at the end of time, after Christ returns and raises everyone from the dead, and the wicked are judged and sent off to the lake of fire, that the righteous who are baptized into Him will enter into as the book describes, the newly planted Garden of Eden. And there it says, God will dwell with man forever. Come, Lord Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.